Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8-ish, 8:30-ish p.m. And we are so excited because we know that we are sharing the Word of God. We know that we are studying and coming to reason together. And so as we do so, we invite you to participate with us. We always start off with devotion, which is song, scripture, and prayer. And so as we start off tonight, we will have a prayer. We'll then have scripture. And after scripture, we will have, prayer. And we'll have a song. Then we'll have scripture. And then we'll have intercessory prayer. And we will then begin. One of the things I'm so excited about tonight is that we will be really, really, really working hard to understand the strategy that underlies the enemy's temptation. And so as we get started, we want to always be aware that we have to put on the armor of God. And so we'll do that. And as we do so, I wanted to share with whoever's going to read tonight. Who would like to read the scripture for us this evening? Can we get two readers? Can we get two readers?
What are the scriptures?
The scriptures that I'm going to ask to be read talks about Galatians 3, 1 through 3, and Galatians 1, 11 through 12. Galatians 3, 2 through 3, or actually 1 through 3, and then Galatians 1, 11 through 12. And it's basically saying that Satan offers a counterfeit spirituality, not the real thing. So let's look at that tonight as understanding he has all kinds of strategies, but he will make himself look like the good guy. So, and we see that in, so Miss Shirley, if you can read those two. Margaret, can you read after her 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 14?
Okay.
2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 14. And what we really want to see is Satan's counterfeit spirituality and how he disguises himself. And sometimes in 14, we see he makes himself, in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, he tries to make himself look like the good guy. So we'll start off with prayer. God, we come before. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Shirley.
I have Galatians 3, 1 through 3, and what's the other one, Galatians what?
1, 11 through 12, and as you read them, if you feel that it's clearer to add a passage, or feel free to do that, but I'm pretty sure that it needs to be inclusive of those, but feel free to add as God's leading you.
Okay.
Okay. No, it did not. What in the world? In the name of Jesus. Wow. So the studio just disappeared.
What?
Wow. So hold on just a second. We're going to keep going in spite of. I tell you all sorts of things.
Amen. Lord, help us in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, and it's like we get it on time, and then the enemy just gets all upset. But you know what? We ain't going to worry about it because we're on the line. So what we're going to do at this point is we're going to have prayer. Lord, as we come before you right now, we ask that you would empower us, you would strengthen us, you would help us, oh God, to be faithful to everything that you set as a task before us. And as we go forth, Lord, let the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us. Strengthen us because the enemy is fighting, and we ask now that there will be a battle taking place with Michael and Gabriel and all the other archangels and angels who will help us tonight deliver this word and keep the enemy from hindering anything that might be a part of God's will and testimony to the world so that we can get clarity and people can be victorious in their battle. We thank you now, Lord. We trust in you now. Thank you for the studio coming up. Thank you for everything working out fine. We claim it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We will hear Fred Hammond.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Say no weapon.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Shirley. I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1 and go through verse 5. Then I will pick up with verses 10 through 12. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verses 10 through 12, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. This is Margaret, and I'm going to read from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast as you are also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Reading of the word for the
Amen.
People of God.
Amen to that. This is Brian from Maine. Now is the time in our gathering and study where we bring petitions, requests before the Lord, and also praises if we have some. Does anybody have either a request or a praise tonight?
This is Shirley in Maryland. First of all, I want to thank God for his grace and mercy that my brother-in-law is starting to improve some, and which is
Amen.
A good thing. And I also thank him just working in all of our lives, the Bible study lives, my family's lives, and just thank him for health and well-being and peace of mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Does anybody else have something tonight?
This is Chaplain Susie. This is Dr. Susie. I just want to praise God. I woke up this morning.
Amen.
And I'm in my right
Amen.
Mind. I can walk.
Amen.
I have struggled with pain, but I'm able to go on and put one foot in front of the other. And every day I can get back home and thank God and praise him for one more opportunity to be a witness. And I tell you,
Amen.
I can't take that for granted, because it's somebody that COVID-19 took down. It's somebody that cancer took out. It's somebody that was destroyed in a car wreck today. And I just want to thank the Lord for being gracious and merciful, believing me to be able to do something to impact the kingdom. That's why we're here, not of our own, but because of the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Just want to thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah to that. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Who else has something tonight?
This is Margaret from Cincinnati. And I was just wanting to ask for prayer for my daughter who's returned to work, and she's feeling overwhelmed and having difficulty to find enough work to do right now. So the prayer is that more work would surface for her on the job so she would feel more secure, just to ask the Lord and to help her being separated from her two infant sons. Amen.
Amen. Sister Margaret.
Amen.
God is listening.
Who else may have something tonight?
Edith from Oakland. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We hear you.
Request for unsaved loved ones. Also want to thank God because as I keep going with him, he has made my mind calm down and go with the flow, and I'm not having so many spaces of blanks. And I thank him for that.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen, sister.
Praise his name.
Absolutely. Who else tonight has something? Okay, let's bring these before the Lord together tonight as a group, as a unified body of believers in Jesus Christ. You know, even though we're individuals spread across the countryside, we are unified through him. And I just bring praise to that by itself. But Lord, I ask that you consider all the family members we have who are in turmoil, the ones who have been mentioned here tonight, and the ones who we would mention if we had plenty of time and just took time to mention everybody who is in need. Well, there are a lot of people in the circle of people we love.
Hello.
And we just ask that. Hello. We just ask that they be blessed, that our families be blessed and protected, and that they become mindful that their benefits, their protection, their blessings come from you, and that it's not just random, it's not just something which happens to them automatically, but that they understand that there is a great force of good that combats everything that's of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Help them to realize that in their life, and we ask that their diseases be minimized, their jobs be fulfilling, and that they may have security in their work. And as they are separated from their family members and children, we ask that that be minimized and that their benefit be maximized from them.
Can you put your phones on mute until
Amen.
You talk? Amen. Amen. Please put your phones on mute.
I can't get
so
my
don't
screen
hear the background noise. I can help you, Miss Edith. Hold on. I got it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, with everything that we have today, we're so excited to get started, and we're excited to share and to, you know, talk about the word tonight. God has been so, so very good to us. And as we know the blessings and of our Lord and Savior, all we have to do is to lean and depend on the Lord. He has us, and we're okay. This is Dr. Susie, and it's time for me to do a little etiquette in the studio. So I just wanted to share with those of you who are in the studio, when you enter, we can hear when you're walking outside or if you're in the air, we can hear the air blowing. So if you're not talking right now, we ask that you put your phone on mute. Everybody, put your phone on mute. And when your phone is on mute, when you get ready to talk, you have to remember to take it off mute. That's the hard part, is remembering to take it off of mute, because we can hear everything in the studio, every bump, every crumple of a piece of paper. When you're putting aluminum foil on, covering up something, we can hear all that. So we ask that you put it on mute. Now, the other thing is when we share in the studio, because we're getting to know one another, we ask that you say, this is Dr. Susie from Indianapolis now, and then go ahead and say what I'm going to say. We do ask that you get involved and that you share, because that's what helps us share the good news. That's what helps us talk about the word, and we ask questions that others who are not in the studio can't ask, but they're thinking it. And so you help those individuals get their questions answered by bringing up what God has placed on your heart. So with that said, we're excited to get started, and just want to say thank you. Last week was a phenomenal week. The last several weeks have been phenomenal. And we just want to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We have dealt with when the enemy strikes, strategies for spiritual warfare. And we talked about the face of evil beginning in April. We talked about the nature of the enemy. We talked about the outcome of the battle. We even talked about the enemy's snares. And then we talked about learning to discern, discernment. And then last week we began talking about extinguishing the fiery darts. And as we talk about extinguishing the fiery darts, we talked about what fiery darts were. We talked about the devil's access and his strategy. We talked about a toehold, a foothold, and a stronghold. And the one thing we know, Paul reminds us, is that we cannot use secular or fleshly weapons to fight spiritual battles. So what I'm talking about is many of us have had these generational problems that have become strongholds. You know, alcoholism in families, sexual abuse in families, physical abuse in families. We've had mistreatment and abusive language in families. We've had where we have struggled with so many things and have a cycle of repetitive behavior that have become strongholds. And so we want to recognize that those things are attacks of the enemy. So our battle is a spiritual battle. And if it's a spiritual battle, it's got to have a spiritual cure. And so we have learned that Satan targets his attacks on our minds. And Paul tells us to take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take every thought captive. And we have to understand, because this is war language. This is war language. Where do these speculations that happen come from? They come in the mind. Where is knowledge rooted? It's in the mind. Where does thoughts come from? It's in the mind. It's all in the mind. So the Christian who wants to trade his or her spiritual POW status for freedom has to learn to think differently. So when Satan attacks a Christian's mind, he starts building what Paul calls fortresses or strongholds. The devil will build a place from which he can operate, and he means, come on somebody, for that fortress, ouch, that stronghold to be permanent. because he plans to take up residency there. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I start thinking about the enemy taking up residence in my life, hey, that's not good for me. Oh, no. And so it's on. The war is on. But Satan will make himself at home. And if he gets a grip on the mind until we start to think, you know, because he'll make you think there's no way to overcome the problem, that there's no way to save the marriages, there's no way to unify the church, that there's no way to survive or get over anxiety or panic attacks, that there is no way that we can make a difference in the world, that we may as well give up. That's the enemy. So when you hear a Christian saying something like, no way, it can't be done, I've tried everything, it doesn't work, that may be somebody, one of us, one of your sisters or brothers, who has allowed Satan to build a fortress in their mind. And we have to hold and gird one another up. It's kind of like we have to bear, crutch,
Amen.
And challenge them and encourage them so that foothold, that fortress, that stronghold doesn't stay foundational but is ripped from its stronghold and that they are no longer hopeless. So the only reason that we can really say I can't when God says you can, we know that's when Satan's made a home in our head. That's jacked up, isn't it?
Yeah.
When
Amen.
Satan has made a home in our head. So we have to understand that we are not going to allow that. You know, we're not going to allow him to operate by that old information that was on the hard drive of our mind before we became a Christian. We ain't going to let it happen. Because the Bible says before we were saved, we were operating by a godless way of thinking, a thought system that was vain and empty. But Satan controlled the keyboard that entered data, you see, into our minds and put it on the screen of our lives to be lived out. But when we came to Jesus Christ, come on, somebody, he gave us a new drive in our minds with new data to control the way we live. Each believer has that new data, right?
Amen.
But many of us are still living by the old data, refuses or tries to fight against being erased completely until we get to heaven. But even though we're on our way to heaven, hey, we're still being programmed by the enemy, and so we have to fight it. We have to fight it and believe that when no weapon, what did Fred Hammond just say, formed against us, what's the answer? Shall what? Prosper.
Not prosper.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen, amen, and amen. So as we look at this, we stopped with the CMD. We stopped with don't miss the CMD. And the CMD is critical moment of decision. And so Brother Brian was beginning to teach us about the CMD. So Brother Brian, if you're ready, let's go.
Thank you very much, Pastor Susie. This really follows on perfectly with what Dr. Susie was just saying. Over the course of time through our life, our minds are programmed partly by what's happening around us, but mostly by what we decide to look at, to listen to contemplate, to act on, and to focus on those strongholds, that time with God, that time away from God. And over the course of time, our minds build up an array of reactions that happen very quickly. So if normally we listen to people and hang around people and ourselves cuss and swear, the second something happens to upset us, we're going to swear. No thinking, no contemplation of the effects of what's going to happen. We just do it. And that's why it's so critical to filter the world around you by making decisions about what to do, when to do it, how to do it, so that instead of having 99.999% of junk entering your mind and 0.001% of the Lord's word and time with the Lord, you flip that around so that most of your time you're thinking about what the Lord wants, you're contemplating his word, you're reading his word, you're studying where you are in the world view of Christianity guided by the Bible, and you displace the junk that the world presents. That gets us to the critical moment of decision. Like I said about swearing, you pound your thumb with a hammer, you just might say, ouch! Or you might cuss four or five cuss words, depending on how your mind is set up for the critical moment of decision to react. Sometimes you get a chance to think about that critical moment. Other times it happens automatically. But there's a good example, a classic and typical example in the book which we are studying, the Kindle book. And in that book, the devil approaches Eve in the Garden of Eve. In the garden. And he asks her a question. But before that, both Adam and Eve knew what God had actually said. God said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of the good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat, you shall surely die. That's Genesis 2:16-17. But what Satan did, instead of rephrasing exactly what God had said to Adam and Eve, which he knew what they said, I mean, he knew what God said to them. Instead, he said to Eve, God said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. So that put a question into Eve's mind. And at that moment, whatever she had thought of, however she had contemplated, whatever formed her mental array, caused her to have a critical moment of decision. She could have said, well, you know, God did say not to eat the fruit from that tree, and therefore I'm just not doing it. She could have said, well, this creature who's speaking with me seems knowledgeable, but he just misquoted what the Lord said, and he's confusing me, so I'm just going to fall back on what I was told by God, not by him or anyone else, and I'm not eating. But we know, because we're fallen people, that Eve made the wrong decision. She decided, he did say we could eat of any fruit. Really, I remember him saying that. And she went and took a bite. Adam made the same mistake. So Adam made his critical moment of decision as well in the wrong direction. This is human nature. Satan knows that. He uses that against us. He reveres in leading us astray. And so he knows as time goes on and there are more and more people on the earth, you know, now there's about 7.7 billion people on the earth. Back when there was 300 million and people were agrarian, were spending their time in fields and had a lot of time to think. They had evenings to read the Bible, to contemplate, to discuss for hours. In not just a few minutes, but hours on end, on Sunday especially, they'd contemplate and discuss the Bible, dig into the Lord's Word, get closer and closer to an understanding fully of the Bible. When Satan would try to influence them, they were very, very resistant because they had time on their hands. They had very few things to do that they did all day long. Now Satan sees an opportunity. He sees us just steeped in busyness. There are 7.7 billion people, most of whom, not all, but most of whom are buzzing around from here to there all day long, trying to find a way to make money, trying to find a way to pay bills, trying to find a way to do this, trying to find a way to do that, in a frantic state. So Satan knows purely well that he can put people in a situation of having their critical moment of decision essentially blitzkrieged by thousands of thoughts and thousands of training events, so that when a man looks at a beautiful woman and he thinks of all the movies he's seen where the man gets a woman and all these scenes come in, pornography he's seen, he's unfortunately more likely now to make the wrong critical moment of decision, and the woman might make her the wrong critical moment of decision as well because of all the busyness and evil around them. So us as Christians, what can we do? Very, very simple. We slow down whenever there's a decision which needs to be made. We're going to make thousands of decisions every day. But we have to be very, very aware of what's a critical decision that's going to affect us and our relationship with the Lord. So we have to know what sin is. We have to be very aware of all the different ways we can sin and that we can draw ourselves away from God. And when one of those decisions comes up, we just stop. It's not about if we're going to have the latte or the coffee. It's not about are we going to have the vanilla brownie or the chocolate brownie. Those decisions are going to happen. Those aren't critical. It's are we going to do this very sinful act, or are we going to walk away from it? Are we going to take that jewelry, which is sitting on the counter with the clerks all looking the other way, and stick it in our pocket and walk? Or are we going to leave it there and walk away? Those critical moments of decision come up throughout the day, and when they happen, we just have to stop and slow down and think, what does the Lord want me to do? What would please him? What is really going to better my life? Am I willing to suffer the consequences of this sin? And take that critical moment of decision and stretch it out into a drawn-out, prayerful thought. Make your decision without being a knee-jerk reflex. Do the right thing and move on with your day. And amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. So what questions do you have of us regarding that?
Yes.
Because what I hear is I hear in that there was a moment when the enemy lied to Eve initially. That was the toho. But when she kept listening and stayed engaged in the conversation, that became a foothold. And then when she started to question God, well, he began working on the stronghold. So by the time it was a stronghold, well, she went and got the fruit. So
yes,
that's an example to us of how we have to be careful and not let that graduate, not let that continue to grow. And sometimes we can't do it on our own because I don't think we actually see it sometimes at first, because the enemy is clever. We have seen in the scripture, we've seen as we listened and saw examples of how he's deceptive. And
that's right.
We get hooked before, you know, we miss the toehold, see, and he's already got a foothold or working on the stronghold before we even realize it. So go ahead, Brian. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I was fixing actually to describe a real life thing that happened to me, a real life decision point that could have dramatically changed the path of my life at that time. I had been married for about 28 years at the time, had two awesome children, and had been faithful to my wife and both during dating and during marriage, but had a lifestyle of being an on-the-road information security consultant, working all over the state of Maine and working in parts of Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont. And I was averaging about 40 to 50 nights per year sleeping in motels, because a lot of the work just wasn't practical to drive home every day when these projects were happening. So I was working 4 hours away from home in Massachusetts, and I'd been working at this project for about a month and a half, 1.5 days per week, and then working the rest of the time with the rest of my company back in Maine. And there was a woman who had been divorced. She was about 5 years younger than me, and she was absolutely beautiful and very fit. And we were working together every day, and I could tell that she was flirting, and I tried to ignore it, but the thoughts started to build on my mind, especially being away from home on Sunday and Monday nights. And this woman was just very, very attractive. And one day, after about maybe 2 months of torment, I guess, or of temptation, she just, her and I were working after everybody else had left because we were trying to finish part of the project that had to be ready for the next day. And she said, "Brian, I know you sleep in motels all the time, and you don't need to tonight. You can come home with me." And I had my CMD. I didn't know what I just told you guys, really, about slowing things down, but I just looked at her and I said, "I need a minute," because I almost said yes. I got up out of my chair and I went into the bathroom, and I paced back and forth, and I started to shake and sweat. And then I realized, Lord, this is it, isn't it? This is a time when I'm going to decide if I'm going to be a married, faithful man or if I'm going to be the other guy. And I don't know if I have the strength to go back and tell her no, and I don't know how to tell her no without upsetting her and, you know, rocking the boat, because she was helping to manage. She was a member of the customer team, and she was managing me. How did I do that without losing the job or having everything go very poorly? And I prayed for the right words, decided to say no, and I went out and I gently explained why I couldn't do that. And she said, "Great." And everything was smooth. I worked with her another 4 months. And there were some testy times because she teased me because she, you know, she was a temptress, but I did not cross the line. So that was my CMD. Does anyone else here have an example of real life of something which happened to them?
Good illustration.
Anyone else have something to share? I know it's scary. Sharing is scary.
Well, hold on. We got somebody here. Eric, do
this
you have anything you want to share? Don't. Go ahead.
Yes, it's really it's a very strong a temptation, but the good part is having. This is where I say that I thank God for my mom and dad who instilled me good, although we didn't have any Bible study, but understanding the reverence of God, that he was the creator of heaven, that he is the omni God, the almighty God, master of all, supreme being, and Lord does wonder things. I mean, why do I turn around? There are things that have, I already told Chaplain Sue about this, that there are things that affects my decision making is when I compromise. And even I know that I should not be doing it, but I compromise, even though that for the sake of the party that is going to happen, even though I should, you know, this is not right. And I said, okay, we'll just wait until the gathering, because if we really are Christians, why are we doing this? Why do we have, like, for example, that's why I don't really hang out too much, not to put down, but unfortunately, a lot of my kinds, they like to gamble. Every time I go out, they gather together, they're all gambling, then I start talking things, then they get the words just perverted. I'm like, I have to stay out. But the thing is, I tolerate it, which is, as you said, on the toehold. But one thing that I like about my toehold is toehold of God. When it is toehold of this, that's not a good way of doing this. How could you do that? You know, why do you try to you know, why do you tempt somebody else's when they're playing or something like that? And it kind of bothered me. I said, Lord God, why am I hanging around here? But unfortunately, I was riding with somebody else. So I have to wait and tolerate it. But then I stopped going out with it because of the fact that the group is like that. So the main thing that I understand now, what God has told me, is do not compromise me. And I don't get it, because you always try to please people, and that's compromising, even though it's not right. So I have to be isolated with my own, because it seems like when I group up with others, it's always something that is not good, and I really don't like it, because I have to contemplate with God. I have to argue with God all the time. Why am I putting in this place again, Lord? And I don't know how to say no. So, yes,
right.
That we're talking about it, it makes a big difference. My stronghold is, how do we keep strongholds from developing temptation? And that's another thing that
all
if
right.
you go back on the other side. So I do really like the explanation of our Brother Brian on that. The discipline, self-control, and it reminds me of Joseph. Joseph, when he was tempted by the wife of the Pharaoh, and he was put to jail. That reminded me of him all the time.
Yeah. So I have a question. This is Dr. Susie. Thank you, Joan. That was awesome. Thank you for sharing. But I have a question, and I don't know if I totally understand it. If this could, because, you know, maybe people aren't saying anything because they're like me. I'm struggling to find a CMD. And so not that there haven't been lots of them. I'm just trying to put it in words. So there was a situation when I was a young minister, and we had our first convention. We had our Black Disciples gathering. And in that gathering, it was my first time showing up, first time being around a group of men who were also clergy. There were a group of women, of course, many more men. And I was standing there and discovered that the guy who, it was my first church that I was pastoring, and the guy, there was an African guy who approached me, and we were talking, and I discovered that he had pastored the same church that I did. Well, as we were talking, he was going, well, would you take a picture? I would like to share this with my wife, as I tell her about, you know, that I met you and that we pastored the same church. She, you know, it would be hard for her to believe that. So it would be great if we could take a picture and I could tell her. And I said, sure, it's fine with me. I don't mind. And so we asked somebody else to take a picture for us. And then out of the blue, this guy jumps in the picture, a minister, and he says in front of everybody, Allah, when we get, and he jumps in the picture, and he says, I hope when it's developed, we don't have any clothes on. And I was flabbergasted. And at that point, they're looking at me to try to see how I'm going to respond, because it was intact. And I said, you know what? I said, I would just expect that you would reverence the role that I play, you know, the fact that I'm a minister of the Lord, and that you would not do something because of who I am in the Lord, or, you know, the guy who was with me, and be respectful of that. And they were laughing, and it wasn't funny to me. It was, but I felt I was at a critical moment of decision where and you know, you're like, I don't know these people. If I say something, I'm already screwing up. That could have been one of the head leaders in the thing. But at that moment, I had to make a decision to say something. I could not let it go. Is that also a critical moment of decision, Brian, the way you see it, where you have to make something and stand on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it is, because you could have reacted in anger. You could have lashed out, or you could have said something pleasant. You had a critical moment of decision.
or even walked away.
Yeah. But I couldn't let those men sit there and laugh at me and degrade me for being a woman in ministry. And that was
right.
The purpose of all of it, was to dehumanize me. But I had to keep my head up and speak out as a woman of integrity for the Lord. And I did. And when I walked away, I went to the women and I told the women what happened. But what got me is the women got mad at me.
Okay, at least you shut it down with the men that didn't give them any more else to talk about.
Exactly. But we should have had each other's back. And instead, they saw me, okay, here she comes. She's going to be a threat now. You know, I'm like, my God, you know.
You know, that goes back to that incitement. You know that, don't you, right?
The what? Goes back to the what?
Go back to incitement. Women want to keep something going.
Yes.
Gossip.
That's right. That's right. And that's what the churches do. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so we have to make the decision to nip it in the bud, because you got to know, and I had to know that there was an attack on the enemy, from the enemy,
yeah.
I mean. There was an attack because he was trying to make me not come back, not participate, be afraid. You know, all of the fear of being a woman in ministry, not stand up, not preach, not teach, but be afraid. And he didn't win.
Exactly.
He did not win.
Naturally, you got that because you stand up
to
for God.
To God be the glory. To God.
Well, this is Eric.
You were there, Eric, and didn't know it. I don't know if I told you.
All that is true, Dr. Susie. Well, I probably, when you just start talking about it, probably even know who it was. But but that's also, remember we always say sometimes we give the devil too much credit. But that's also an opportunity, Dr. Susie, and you and I have talked about this a long time, that God reveals to you exactly what kind of situations you're in, because everybody that says church is not about church.
Right, right.
But we have a whole lot of ministers that are in denominations and congregations that are not truly of God. And sometimes God has to show you that so that he can help you plot how you get through there to hold your integrity, to be able to do his work, to bring a light into the darkness that is going on. So that
and that's exactly
will,
what the study is teaching, Eric.
Right.
But you're right. You're right. That's exactly what the study is teaching, that there will be people who even are sheep in wolves' clothing, but nonetheless, you still have to understand that this is spiritual warfare, and it takes a spiritual answer for the spiritual cause. This is not a physical warfare, and we have to have a spiritual cure for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Even when it is,
right,
even when it is people who are not of God, because they're on the other team. Anybody else? Anybody else have a critical moment of decision?
This is Eric. I got one that comes to mind, and it was kind of, I don't know. I don't even know the word for it now. But like Brian, I used to have a job where I traveled a lot, and I was living in St. Louis at the time, and I had to go back to Jacksonville, Florida, which I'd lived in, to do some work with this organization I was with. And I was working to try to get them this housing community, $1.5 million to build a new community center. And I had met some folks when I lived in Jacksonville and worked for the Boy Scouts that we became friends. And they gave me a call and said, listen, we've got a pot of money that we need to, it was HUD money, we've got a pot of money that we need to kind of do away with, and do you have any projects down here that could use that? And I'm like, well, you know, what is it for that? And they told me. So I said, well, yeah, I think so. So I go from St. Louis to Jacksonville, and I'm working on this project with these folks, and the manager of this housing community has a secretary and says, well, I want her to be the point working with you. And I'm like, that's fine, because she'll have all the information on the community. I'll have all the information on the money, and we can put it all together. So to make a long story short, so we worked together, like Brian, for a couple of months, me going back and forth to Jacksonville from St. Louis. And so we finish the project, we get the money, and I want to celebrate, and, you know, she's been working hard, and the manager, and take them out to dinner, and we do all that, and, you know. Well, then the lady says to me, well, what church do you go to? She says, you know, I'm a member of a church, and I said, well, I'll go to this little small church, and she says, well, I'd like to meet you at church one day, and because I still was very close with the church that I went to. Well, we're sitting in church, and this lady takes her shoe off and runs her foot up my leg, sitting in church. And I'm
in church,
in the morning message. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, do I respond now? Do I respond later? How do I respond?
Lord, and I know you, Jesus. Lord have mercy.
So,
all right.
So I'm kind of perplexed, because I'm like, man, this ain't the place, nor the time, nor is that the action to be doing. So the Lord's like, just remain calm. Don't make eye contact. Don't you know, just keep listening to the message and all that. And so get out of church, and, you know, she's driving her car, I'm driving my car, and I say, you know, thanks for, you know, coming to service. And she leaves, and the next day, which is Monday, because I got to fly back to Jacksonville, I go over to the office and I says, I didn't appreciate that. Thanks for the work, but I didn't appreciate that. And you don't have to worry about us working together ever again. And she kind of looks at me, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I left it, and that was it. And that was the last time I saw her. That was the last time I talked to her. That was, you know, in the whole 9 yards. And they got the money. They got the project. They got the building built, the whole 9 yards. But I was like, now I won't be back over here. But in church. So like you, Dr. Susie, with what transpired at that conference, there are those times that Satan, even in God's house,
well,
will attempt to attack you to see what your character
amen.
Is all about.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Susie,
amen.
This is Brett. Brian, I sympathize with you and with Dr. Susie. Here in Indianapolis, excuse me, here in Indianapolis, we had or still have Interdenominational Ministers Alliance. And one of the things that happen when you are either in seminary or you have just been ordained, some of the old heads, now keep in mind, this is back in the early 70s, so you still had people that became ministers the old way by not going
right.
to seminary. Okay?
Okay.
So some of these would try and test and just see how you're going to respond. And I had a couple of people that asked me a dumb question. And so I responded. It wasn't what they wanted to hear, but I responded. And they never asked me a question like that again. Now, the thing is, when it comes to government money. A friend of mine, a friend of mine worked for the Division of Public Housing here in Indianapolis, and we were asked to come to Gary at the time. Hatcher was the mayor, and to help them with their housing problem, government housing. So we went up there, we saw what they had, and talking with a lady up there, she thought she had it all going on. The person I was with, this woman tried to put this person down, and I stuck up and put her in her place. Because, see, I'm one of those type of people, you can sit and say whatever you want to say to me, and at the end, if I think you're done, I'm going to ask you, what is your point? You didn't say it all, so what is your point? Which neutralizes a whole bunch of stuff. Yes.
So, Britt, tell me what the critical moment of decision was. Clarify that for me.
With her, it was the same type of situation, working in an office, trying to get some things done. And this woman had on a short skirt that came down mid-thigh, but when she sat down, it rolled up like a window shade.
Okay. So you were able to resist that. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Okay.
At least it wasn't
Well, Brother
trailer.
Brad,
huh?
Listen, I know you're right. So I know it's challenging for our brothers, and we all have these things that the enemy chooses to challenge us with. Some it's physicalness, some it's alcohol, some it's drug addiction. I mean, the enemy knows each of us and what our own particular area of weakness or challenge is. Sometimes, you know, maybe it's not the sex, but maybe it's the idea that if I make other people think that's what it is, then I can destroy this person's reputation. Or, you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
Different things that can occur. And so we have to be at that critical moment of decision, if I got it right, Brian. And, you know, this is your teaching. And so when we have that, we have to act. And after, I'm going to let Brian wrap that up, and then we need to move to the final thing in this chapter, and that is, how do we keep strongholds from developing? So go ahead,
All
Brian,
right.
and wrap that up.
Yeah,
thank you, Brett.
So there's,
you, and we didn't have
no
some
problem.
Tough stuff.
Haven't we? You know, you helped stop something that was happening to me at that church on Broadway. Here in Illinois.
We'll have to talk about it later. We're running out of time. Thank you.
Go ahead.
We'll come back. We'll get it. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, so we're all going to be faced with these critical moments. Our background, our level of faith, our commitment to the Lord, our knowledge of the Word is what's going to help us make the right decision. We can't make the right decision all by ourselves. In a world where we are barraged constantly with evil expectations, evil thoughts, and evil opportunities, we can't do it. Okay? We're not strong enough. We're not tough enough. We're not good enough. We have to rely on the Lord and our relationship with Him, what He teaches us, and have that be the first thought rather than the sinful thoughts be the first thought.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Eric. Can I add this? Because I think this is important, especially for those who are listening and not going to be able to respond to this. While we have all given examples of that critical moment of decision, we have all faced some and failed.
Amen. So we're not perfect. Amen.
Right. And what I want to bring about that is that the key is that Satan uses that to try to destroy our relationship and to accuse us before God. But if we become as David did, as it relates to Bathsheba and Uriah, God is just to forgive us if we confess our sins to him and ask his forgiveness. So that when
Amen.
We do fail, because we are not perfect, we
Amen.
Have the ability to go to God to get cleansed and relief and be forgiven, to not carry that guilt around. Because that's what Satan wants us to do, is to carry that guilt around and make us think that we're not worthy to be in God's presence. And he wants to go to God and say, see,
Amen.
That creation that you made has failed, and they are not worthy. And God says, no,
Amen.
Jesus Christ paid the price with his sacrifice, on the cross and the shedding of his blood, that we don't have
Amen.
To do that. And that is
Amen.
What's most important for us during that period,
Amen.
Is that when we do fall short, we do have an advocate in Christ before our Father.
Amen.
Amen.
When we do fall short,
Amen.
We have
that
advocate. And frankly, we have that same yeah. advocate to prevent us from doing it if we can. You know, we don't know which one it's going to be. It depends on how much you've been in study. It depends on how close your walk is with God. It depends on the stimulus you've been receiving, how rough you are in the battle, or how much armor you got on. All of that stuff is dependent.
Amen.
And so the
Amen.
Critical moment of decision is where we want to be able, though, is to make the decision for the Lord and understand the attack when it's happening. Is that the objective, Brother Brian? Did you want to say anything else?
I agree.
That is the objective, and that clears it. That's very well said.
Amen. So we can see that we can fall short, and we can see that we have to be strong. So let's make the decision to stay with our armor on, being prepared, being alert and ready. Go ahead. We're now going to go into how do we keep strongholds from developing, because we don't have much time left. So we'll come back. How do we keep strongholds from developing? And Jerry, are you on the line?
Yes, hello.
You have to get off mute. Okay.
Yeah, I did. What's the question
again? So we want to talk about how to keep strongholds from developing.
Yes. Hold on. I was just overlooking that, looking at it in the text. Hold on just a second.
So as we look at how to keep strongholds from developing, what do you all think that we have to do, just talking about it? What do you think that we have to do to keep strongholds from developing? Go ahead, Joan.
Yes, definitely.
What do you think we have to do?
By me reading this information, this is what I found out on 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and I love this, and I'm going to use it as my motto. It,
can you read it?
Came, huh?
Are you reading it for us?
Oh, okay.
Can you read it for us?
Yeah, all right. Yes, it is 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. It says, Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Or Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. And I will keep that. That will be my motto, one of my mottos now for being, to develop something in mind. How long will it take us to make a decision what is right and wrong?
Okay. So you're saying one of the things that we do to keep strongholds from developing is make the decision between right and wrong. So that's one of the first
right.
things. I hear you, Ms. Jones. Anybody else?
Thank
what
you.
Else do you think we could do to keep the strongholds from developing?
This is Jerry in Maine again. Basically, it's taking our thoughts. It's praying to God and taking our thoughts and trying to have thoughts that Jesus – and God would want us to have, asking God to help you to get the devil behind you and not to have them kind of thoughts anymore is one of the main ways of stopping strongholds to, you know, get on us.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So
one of the first things is being able to recognize what a stronghold is as opposed to something holy.
Right. I agree.
That's why God is needed there in between. The Holy Spirit will direct us how to make a decision making.
Thank you.
Dr. Susie Disipret from Indianapolis. One of the first things we have to do is stay prayed. You got to pray.
Amen. That's one of the things we need to pray. Take the Lord. Amen.
Unceasingly, it says.
So let me throw this out. Who's talking now? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
This is Margaret. Margaret from Cincinnati. I just wanted to say we need to keep reading our Holy Scriptures, studying them. The Lord will bring the verses to our mind and
hallelujah,
and help us to understand what is a stronghold. And I believe some strongholds can be generational. So we have to pray against them, as Brett said.
So everything we've been talking about is the enemy is putting these thoughts and these things sometimes in our minds, right? And so let me ask this question. If a person says, so I think one of the things we should do is go to the root of the problem. So if a person says, I got a drug problem, is that the real problem?
Right.
If a person says, I got a moral problem, is that the real problem?
Mm.
If a person says, I have an alcohol problem, is that the real problem? So to me, I think those are all symptoms. Those are symptoms of what the root issue is, and the root is the thinking that makes you do it. It's the thinking, because who's planting it? You know, it's everything we're being taught. I'm listening. And I'm going, okay, so if the thought is placed there, then that's the culprit. That's the real root of the problem. And the only way we can do that, as James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There are two things we got to do, and y'all have been saying it. Cleansing the hands refers to confessing and getting rid of the wrong things we're doing. But James does something by saying that he goes beyond the hand to the heart. Come on, somebody. We have to purify our hearts.
Amen.
Because if we just merely stop the wrong thing, you know, doing the wrong things without dealing with the internal problem that caused the wrong behavior, which is the thinking and the stuff that's in our heart, without dealing with that internal problem, right, we'll go right back to that behavior.
Amen.
Anybody else have another thing?
This is Joni Maine. I was looking for this writing, but now that you were talking about that, there's another thing that from the toehold of the good thing is that God created our heart, mind, and soul. So he has the first hold to it, and so he's always watching us and taking care of us. So he, by giving us guiding us to be rightful, to be righteous, he keeps nudging us, and it's up to us to make that decision. Are we going to listen to that nudge of God, or we go on our way? So that's another thing that I have just remembered that I coming from your wordings, yes.
Amen. Jerry, did you have anything else?
Well, I was going to say, you know, reading the text and everything is recognizing that it might be getting a stronghold in your mind, and you got to just cry out to God, please don't let this happen anymore. Stop me from having this pulsive, obsessing thinking and the sinful thinking, and get, Amen. You know, help me with the worry and anxiety. And if you Amen. Ask him to set you from that, he will take care of that. And just like we had said earlier about asking for your sins to be forgiven, it's the same thing with thoughts. Ask him to get them thoughts out of your mind, and please forgive me, God, for having them thoughts, and he'll set you free.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Amen. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you guys about is regarding this is, you know, I think about the different types of sins, and I think, you know, sometimes we could just say, oh, you know, that's just a bad habit. You know, cussing somebody out, backbiting them, putting other people down, oh, that's just a bad habit, right? But we have to see sin for what it is. And that is, that is how God sees it. We have to look at it the way God looks at it. You know, being physical was pleasurable. You know, I shouldn't do that. How does God see that? God sees that as adultery. God sees that as fornication. Or God sees that as in Ephesians where he talked about all of those things that were unwarranted, backbiting, lying, cheating. We think, well, that's just lying. That's just talking about somebody. It's not. God don't see it just like that was just.
Yes.
God abhors sin. The wages of sin is death. And I'm not Amen. Saying I'm holy, perfect, and can deal with it and don't fall short. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I can't sugarcoat it and fix it for me, and I can't sugarcoat it and fix it for you.
Amen.
It's sin.
Amen.
Amen.
It's sin. And we have to see it the way that God sees it. He said that, Lord said in Isaiah 66:2, to this one I will look to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word.
Ooh, hmm. I like that.
It says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. We have to get to the point that when we think about when we fall short, it hurts us because we don't want to hurt the Lord. We don't want the Lord to be ashamed or upset or frustrated with us. We got to love him that much. I don't know about y'all, but my grandmother could look at me and I would cry because I never, ever wanted to hurt Miss Ernestine.
Aww.
Oh, she could make me cry if I just thought I did something that hurt her. And it ought to be the same way with the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen somewhere?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And
amen. This is Jasmine. I have one thing that it keeps telling me, but I keep forgetting to mention that I read it somewhere in the Bible. I did not write it down. Oh, no, I wrote it, but I don't know my papers. But it says that my heart has not, my pain is not, my anger is not calmed down because the cry of the dead, and I could hear the blood of the dead crying. I forgot where I wrote that one down, but that's what it reminds me of. So by feeling what God is feeling, that it's just aching him.
Right.
You know, with all
so I hear what I hear you saying, Ms. Jones, what I hear you saying, tell me if I got it right, is that if we see sin the same way that God does and God is hurt or crying because we, you know, God is vesting in us. God loves
right.
us. God, you know,
right.
died, his son died on the cross for us
right.
because of love. Then, you know, you're
us.
Saying that God wants, you know, we talk about counting the cost, y'all. We count the cost and we think, yes, it is free. It's a free gift, a grace gift. But there's accountability, and that is once we accept Christ as our personal Savior and we say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to sit on the throne of my life anymore. You will. And when God sits on the throne of your life and God tells you to do something, your life is no longer your own. You have to start living and acting differently according to the way God sees it. And that's difficult. That's challenging. And you don't know what that is until you read the word and learn it.
Yes.
But when we learn it, he says obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
So these are some of the things that we have to do to keep strongholds from developing. Eric, give us a couple of more, and then we're going to close out tonight. Anybody else? Anybody else got a couple more? One more? They want to share?
Can I put one more? You're jumping through. Can I
sure.
put one more? It was the word of
yes,
God.
Sure.
One of the when he was crucified on a cross, and even though he was going through, when he says something about there was a one of the thieves says he rebuked the other one because he was telling him that if you're really God, why don't you help us, right? And then, but the other one says, how could you say that? He rebuked him and says, we deserve ours, but not him. And then he says, Jesus, remember me when you go to heaven. And even that, even though with the suffering that Jesus was going through, he's still healing, comforting, providing that salvation to that man.
Okay, so how do we keep strongholds from developing? How do we keep strongholds from developing? I've heard prayer.
So this is Eric.
Go ahead.
This is Eric, and this is straight from the book, as Stanley would say. If you think you're standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. But remember that temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptations from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13.
Ms. Shirley, you feel like closing this out tonight with a prayer and an invitation?
Yeah, I don't know the invitation, but I can do the prayer.
All right, all right. You start. So we'll team do it. You want to do the prayer first, or you want to? Which way you want to do it?
I can do the prayer first. Dear
okay.
Heavenly Father, we just like to thank you for allowing us to meet again on Tuesday, and just to bring up your name, and just to keep it on our mind. Just to teach us about strongholds, dear Heavenly Father. Teach us about the CDMs that come into our life and that how we need to have that shield of armor across our heart, our mind, and also our bodies. And we also want to make sure that whenever we feel a stronghold, we got someone to fall back on, dear Heavenly Father, because we know that you are always there and you will always be there to catch us in this net of evil that is out here, because there's so much temptation that is trying to pull us away from you, but that is another stronghold that we will not for, dear Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And we keep your name and we provide all the glory, and we love you, dear Lord, for giving us a voice and giving us the opportunity to gather. In Jesus' name we pray, amen to the Father, amen to the Son, and amen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen, Brian. Go ahead.
Amen.
Be the glory of God. Amen. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Can you do an invitation, Brian?
Oh, yes.
So as we come
I
to...
Can.
Go ahead.
Okay. Lord in heaven, you know who's out there. I'm asking in Jesus' name that you prod their hearts with this message. Those of you who feel that pull, who know that it's time for you to make a decision, time for you to bring yourself closer to Jesus Christ, time to accept his gift, please pray with me. Dear Lord, Jesus, my Savior, I am a sinner. I've tried and tried to fix it on my own. I know I can't do that. I understand and I know that you are the Savior who can bring me to heaven, who can bring me to the Lord God Almighty, and that you're the only way. So I ask that you forgive me of my sins, and I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you are the answer to all of our strife, and I accept that. Those of you who have done that tonight, I ask that you find a Bible-believing church. I ask that you attend that church and make sure that someone who's following the Lord's word. I ask that you pray and develop a prayer habit where every day, multiple times, you go before the Lord and bring situations before him as you build your relationship with him stronger and stronger. And I just ask that you have an awesome time and a wonderful life as a new Christian, because you are a Christian now if you've made that prayer in a solemn way. And your life will be different. It'll be better. And your future of infinity with God will be guaranteed. So the angels are screaming and cheering now, as we are for you. See you in heaven someday. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to and taking part in Blog Talk Radio Bible Study. Put this on your calendar every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8:20 Eastern Standard Time. Remember, our call-in number is 646-478-4932. Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Until next week, be safe and trust in God. Have a good night.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.